Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by CatholicSingles.com is ringing in the new year with savings for singles. You can save 20% by using the promo code BREADBOX when you register for a new account. Come meet other faithful Catholics and make 2020 a year to remember.
Welcome to Holy Smokes Catholic Review, your weekly dose of good cigars and the good news. This podcast is brought to you by St. John Vianney Catholic Church in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Incensing the temple today, Father Scott Mansfield, pastor and former rock radio DJ, Tony Willamitis, the guy who knows everything, and Will Tapia, the guy who thinks he knows everything. Now, here's your host, Father Scott.
Welcome to Holy Smokes Catholic Review, Father Scott, along with Will Tapia.
I'm back.
Yeah.
Happy to be back. Yeah. Happy to be back. Thank you to Father James Marshall for substituting in for me. He was good, man. He was really good. He was a riot. He was a riot. I was laughing in my car. It was so funny. And don't worry, I'm not going to make fun of Hillary Clinton. So that's off the table.
I don't mind if you do.
So Father Marshall did great, man. It was a good one. What's new, Father Scott? What's new in your life?
Well, in fact, somebody told me they would like to have Father Marshall on all the time.
I think he should be.
A listener. They said you should have Father Marshall on all the time.
I think he should be a regular. He's a hit, man.
He lives 45 minutes south of here.
I know.
So it's kind of hard to get him.
You guys hang out all the time, though, right?
Not all the time.
For a good chunk of the time.
In the summertime when it's warm and you can play golf. But in the wintertime, not so much.
Well, soon it'll be summertime and maybe we could have Father Marshall back on more normally. Tony is still out in Indiana, we think, and he will be coming back hopefully very soon.
No one knows where he is or what he's up to.
It's like that where in time is Tony Willamitis. Have you heard that song?
No.
Carmen Sandiego?
No.
Just traveling the world anyway.
Never heard it.
So Tony is somewhere, hopefully safe and warm. but he'll be back on when he's back in town. But yeah, man. So what's new, dude?
Well, let's see. I don't know. What is new?
You had Christmas. So I saw you since Christmas.
Well,
what about
Christmas? We had New Year's.
What'd you do for New Year's?
I went to friends and ate some soup, played some Scattergories, came home and went to bed.
Stayed till midnight?
I did.
Nice. Well done. Because you had the solemnity the next day, the solemnity of Mary, Mother of God.
I did. And it was great.
Well done. Very nice.
I love that feast.
It's a beautiful feast. It's a beautiful feast.
It really is.
One of the great titles of Our Lady. Absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, Mother of God.
Which, refutes a heresy. So that's great, man. So what are your New Year's resolutions into 2020?
I don't make resolutions. I have never made a resolution. Mm-hmm. Don't ever intend to make a revolution.
A revolution. That's a good one. Not to make a revolution is a good New Year's resolution.
Resolution. What did I say?
I said revolution.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I agree with you, dude. I don't like to make resolutions.
No, nobody keeps them.
Well, I also think that like every day should be a resolution. So I think people get in this, I don't know. It's this weird thing of like, you know, a change of a day and we see like, okay, 2019 is over, new year, new me, all this stuff, whatever. But the truth is every day you have to make a conscious choice to be disciplined to, you know, whatever your New Year's resolution is. You have to make a choice every day. So I think it's almost, I think it's better to make an everyday resolution to promise you'll be better every day. Promise you'll be going to the gym, you know, whatever it is, cussing less, whatever it is, to make that promise every single day instead of, you know.
Well, it seems to me if you do it for the Lord, or if you do it for the Blessed Mother and the Lord, then I think you'll have greater success.
Oh, I totally agree. I totally agree, man. It's sanctifying the work, right? That's what we've been talking about. It seems like these past couple of weeks.
But see,
dude.
if you let's say you make a resolution to, okay, this year I'm not going to eat sugar. I'm not going to indulge in sweets. No more chocolate candies. No more chocolate candy bars. No more ice cream. I'm going to slim down, lose weight, feel better, look good, all of that stuff. So what happens? So like 3 weeks into it, you're like, well, you know, one chocolate bar is not going to hurt me. And then you eat the one chocolate bar and then after that, you're toast.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yeah.
Right?
Because you already had one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Breaks down. No, I don't know. I had read this one thing when, It was, yeah, you ever listen to the Sunrise Morning Show on Catholic Radio? So I forget, one of the hosts was talking about this, but they were saying that it's better. So instead of like saying, like, let's say for, and this is like Lent as an example, right? So for all of Lent, let's say, you know, if you, Father Scott, and you've done this before, where you give up cigars for all of Lent, it's really hard when you think of like, hey, for 40 days, I'm not going to smoke a cigar. But it becomes really easy if you're like, okay, just today, I'm not going to smoke a cigar. And tomorrow's another story. When I wake up tomorrow, that's another story.
Right.
But just today, I'm going to be better.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think that's a better way to look at kind of a resolutions and kind of make them into a microscopic thing.
And I don't know if it's true or not. They say that after 30 days, then, you know, if you haven't, like, say you're a smoker and then you haven't smoked in 30 days, after that, it gets really easy. I don't know. Is that true?
I have no idea.
It's just what I've heard.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
So, okay, so it was New Year's, and the NFL. I'm 0 for 4. I'm 0 for 4. So it's a good thing I don't bet. It's a good thing I don't gamble, because I'm 0 for 4.
Dude, that was a crazy game yesterday.
Well, which one? All of
dude,
them.
Dude, the Patriots. I mean, so I called you up for the Patriots game. But that last five minutes.
Compared to the Buffalo game, I thought it was boring.
I didn't see the Buffalo game. I only saw the, no, saw like the
that
last.
That went into overtime. It was a great game.
No, that wasn't. Who played today? I saw that one, the end of the overtime, where they went into OT. Minnesota Vikings and
Saints.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Crazy upset too, man. Mm-hmm. So it's been a wild thing for the NFL. I called you after the Saints game, dude. Get your feeling on the Patriots. Brady's a free agent.
Yeah, I don't.
Belichick, who knows?
No, look, Brady will be back. He'll be wearing a Patriot uniform next year. Belichick will be there. They'll go to the Super Bowl. They'll win their seventh, and then Brady will retire.
Should he or should he have not retired last?
Everybody's like, oh, it's the end of the dynasty. Well, we've heard this every year for the past 15 years.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Could Brady have retired? He couldn't have retired last year, right? Because he was still in contract, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you're right. I don't know how it all works, I think you're right.
But yeah, that was it. No, man.
He'll be back. He'll be in a Patriot uniform. They'll win a Super Bowl, one more, and then he's done.
But then the fumble recovery in for a touchdown, crazy.
Well, who are you talking about?
Yesterday, the Patriots.
Oh, you're mixing your games.
I probably am.
Didn't
the Patriots fumble it and then?
No. You're thinking of the Saints.
I know. Oh yeah.
Dude, really? Man,
I don't know.
Have you had sleep? What time did you get up this morning?
I don't know.
What time did you go to bed last night?
I don't remember.
Holy smokes.
It's all blending together, man.
Wow.
Happy New Year. 2020, new year, new me.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Here we are.
Yeah. Apparently, you don't know your football teams very well.
I don't. I've been open about that.
You know where I get, I got to tell you, a few times I've gone to Rome.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come back and you're trying to remember all the different basilicas and places
it's impossible.
You visit and everything seems to blend together.
Dude, it's impossible.
And you're like mixing up events with places and it just gets all cloudy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You could live in Rome for your entire life and that would still happen, dude. I'm telling you, like, it's just a blend, a wash of churches. It's just craziness, man.
So I go walking the other day into Lowe's, not the one in Rio Rancho, but the one down by Cottonwood Mall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is, it's like a mirror image. Okay, so for example, the one in Rio Rancho, when you come out, you're facing south. But the one in Cottonwood Mall, when you come out, you're facing north, right?
Mm-hmm.
So everything's backwards. So when I'm in the one to Cottonwood Mall.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now once I'm inside, I got all twisted and I couldn't tell north from south, right? So for a minute there, I thought it was the one in Rio Rancho.
Uh-huh.
And it's weird because then, I don't know what happened to my brain, because when I came out, I was like, where am I? I was like, this was Rio Rancho. But it was down like by the mall.
Yeah.
In Albuquerque.
Yeah. Well, that's crazy. I don't know what to say about that.
Speaking of crazy, did you see Joaquin
Phoenix on the Golden Globes? We just watched that.
He was just babbling about. Oh well, we should talk about babbling, but this guy was outrageously out of control.
Dude, I know. No, I mean, I don't know. We were talking about this earlier at dinner, but like, you know, the award shows are hard to get into because it seems like everything's so fake and everybody's there just propped up and, you know, Botoxed up and whatever. And God bless them. But
they talk about how great they are. Oh,
I know.
And then what kills me is that they just can't shut up about politics.
I know.
And their political agenda. It's like, you know what?
I know.
Just act, get the award, go home.
Well, there's this one actor I like. Anyway, so he was saying that he's like, why on earth would we ever want to listen to actors? He's like, why would you ever listen to me on politics? He's like, I read words that other people gave me to read. People give me words, I read them, I make funny faces, and I get a paycheck. He's like, why on earth would you ever listen to my political opinion?
Who said that?
Bill Burr.
Oh, Bill.
Yeah, Burr. I know.
Oh, the guy, he's real clean, right?
He's not. That's why I didn't want to say his name. But he's, he was talking about just like, he's like, why on earth would you ever want to listen to me and my opinions and my political outlook?
But he's right.
I don't have any kind of background in politics or anything like that. It's like, why would I have any credibility? Because I have followers or whatever.
Right. Exactly. Like Jessica Alba is, got a degree in political science or, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on. Really?
Oh, I know. Yeah, right? I know. It's all wackiness, man. So, and speaking of wackiness, guess where I was this past week?
Oh, where?
You mentioned it on the podcast. I listened to it.
I know where you were.
I was up in Estes Park, Colorado for the wedding of David and Chanel. Shout out to them both. Congratulations. Sort of a happy life together.
Well, that's wacky. It was wacky.
It's wacky. Colorado is wacky, but we met up with
Well, it didn't used to be until they legalized marijuana.
I know. It's crazy.
Now it's wacky.
It seems like, seriously, every single street corner is like, buy, dispensary and whatever. So it's just mm-hmm. wild. But, so I got to meet up with a fellow podcaster and friend, Joseph O'Loughlin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, really good dude, man. We met up and went down to, we had a lunch at Tivoli Brewing Company in downtown Denver, and then walked over to 16th Street Mall and had a cigar at this cool little place. So we were looking for a place to have a cigar. So remember that place that we went to?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the name of it, but down by the cathedral in downtown Denver.
Yeah.
So we were going to go there, but we didn't have enough time. So Joseph was going to take me to Cigars on 6th Street.
That's where we were.
We had thought about going there, but we went to one that had alcohol. So we went to, I forget the name of the one. It was like Church Street Cigars.
Right, but the owner or the manager, I forget, of the mm-hmm. one we went to.
Yeah.
Remember, he was like a Baptist minister?
Yep.
Cool dude, man.
Very cool dude. That was a cool place. I really enjoyed that place. And so it looked like it wasn't going to pan out. So I was like, all right, we'll get lunch. We'll walk around and then, I'll take off and go back to Estes Park. As we're walking around, there's a little cigar lounge in the 16th Street Mall. I had no idea. So it was cool, man. Yeah, so we're walking down the street past all the shops and everybody doing their Christmas stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, dude, Joseph, I smell a cigar. So we're looking around and... sure enough, there it was, man. So Joseph, a buddy of mine, Anthony Redfield, and I all met up there and had a stogie and just talked and caught up, man. So it was a good time. Focus with the organization he's a part of just finished up mm-hmm. their SLS conference in Phoenix, Arizona. Much warmer than Denver, Colorado. And he said mm-hmm. it went so well. They had like 20 bishops who went. So
I will be in Phoenix in a couple weeks.
Oh, I'm jealous, man.
We're going to have to pre-record some podcasts.
Yeah.
Because I'll be gone for like 2 weeks.
Go hang out with Marcel Lucero. Mm-hmm. The warmth of Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Be a lizard out there, man.
Yeah. So, yeah. So Ken Ziegler, who is the guy who posts these podcasts for us. So he took his, couple weeks back, he took his children to Disneyland.
Uh-huh.
So they're walking down the street somewhere, not in Disneyland, but in L.A., downtown, or wherever they were. So they pass a cigar shop, and I guess the smoke is, coming out the door or something. So his little daughter, I guess somebody, I don't know if when they were walking by, somebody came out and this big cloud of smoke came out. And the daughter said, Daddy, it smells like Father Scott. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Well, there's a reason for that.
That's too good, man.
There's a reason
that's
for that.
Too yeah. good. Mm-hmm. Oh, dude. Yeah. So,
it's amazing. You know what's amazing, too, is I can, let's say I smoke a cigar on a Sunday night, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then I take a shower, brush my teeth, and then Monday I don't smoke, Tuesday I don't smoke. Wednesday, I can go into the school and the nuns will say, you've been smoking a cigar.
Well, it's because you've still been wearing the same clothes, right?
No. It's like, you know, I don't know. It just sticks.
Yeah. No, the smoke lingers for sure.
It's just that those nuns, man, they have like super powers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That they do.
You know, we got a coyote living in the backyard.
Not currently, though.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Right now?
Right.
No, you don't.
Yeah, we do.
No, you don't.
Yeah, we do.
No, stop it.
In the backyard.
Like it's trapped, or what are you saying?
No, he just hangs out here. He suns himself in the day. He's looking, I don't know what he must be hunting. We have a coyote living in our backyard. And he goes between here and then the house next door, which is abandoned. So
where all the cats are.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen any cats in a long time.
You're letting him kill all the cats,
I'm
huh?
not letting him kill anything.
You're going to be recording in here.
No, it's not going to happen. That happened. It's already happened.
So sad.
It was Father Marshall making that noise.
That's sad.
See? There you go. There it is right there.
There's the coyote listen. But yeah, man. So anyway, I'm glad to be back in Albuquerque. Denver was cool. Estes Park was cool. It's cold.
So how
snowy.
How was this big wedding that you
had? It was beautiful. It was at this little church called St. Catherine's on the Rock, also called St. Malo's. It's like 20 minutes up the mountain from Estes Park. I guess so. John Paul II, when he visited Denver, made a trip up there to this chapel, and he hiked. Man, these kids are loud outside the window.
Yeah, well, that's life. That's a life team thing. They did. That's a whole thing with the life team thing. They're just unruly.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. They're just unruly kids,
screaming their heads off. So,
I'm only kidding. But they're screaming for the Lord, so that's a good thing. They're great kids. They just love the Lord. These young kids. They're great. They love them. They love the Lord.
So John Paul II, when he visited Denver, hiked up in those mountains up near Estes Park and had visited the chapel, tiny little chapel. I mean, like, seriously, there's probably eight, ten pews deep, tiny little chapel.
Yeah.
Beautiful, made out of all stone. It's like a rocky mountain rock. It looked like one of those chapels in Italy, like all the rough-hewn rock, you know, Gothic style. Built in the 20s, I think, so about 100 years old. Just a beautiful little chapel way up there in the mountains. Praise God the weather was good. It was probably like 20 degrees when we were up there, so it was warm comparatively. The lady who opened up the church for us said the last year they had a wedding on the 2nd, she said it was like negative 10 degrees or something crazy like that.
Did you go to that hotel, the
Stanley?
Famous? Yeah.
I didn't. I didn't have time to make it out there, unfortunately.
Did you? You didn't even see it?
No. I stayed but apparently my hotel was like a block away, dude.
But you know, in the movie, in the Shining, you know, it looks like there's nothing around it.
Yeah.
That's not true.
No, it's not.
Smith's grocery store. Yeah. There's a McDonald's across the street.
So what's funny is that, I guess the Stanley is like from the center of Estes Park is maybe like a 5-8 minute drive to the edge of town. Mm-hmm. But so, yeah, exactly like you said. So what's funny is the way they filmed it, the angle is just right that it has the hotel and it looks like it's all empty and the big valley and whatever. And then the mountain up the back. So all that is real. But if they panned over like a foot, you'd see another building. You know what I mean? Like if they went 1 foot in either direction, you'd see all the rest of the town.
I'm telling you, it's a Smith's.
Yeah. No, there's a Safeway
across. McDonald's and the Kentucky Fried Chicken or whatever. I got pushed in the pool in that hotel.
In the Stanley? Mm-hmm. That's wild, dude.
By another priest. I was standing at the edge of the pool just checking it out, and he pushed me right in.
Were you mad?
I was infuriated. It's infuriated.
That's so funny. I could see you getting really mad at that. But it was beautiful, dude. Saw some elk. Nothing like when we were in Evergreen a couple years ago. Nothing like that kind of elk, man. I saw maybe 10 female elk.
Well, we have elk here.
Yeah, but not in the city, though, dude.
Well, not in the city, no. We have an elk's club in the city.
We do have an elk's club in the city.
You know what we do have in these mountains right here? Not these, not the Sandias, but the Manzanos just down the way, which you can see from my window.
Mm-hmm.
A bighorn sheep.
Really?
Uh-huh.
No kidding. I didn't know that.
And, of course, mountain lions and bears. And
tigers and bears, oh my.
A coyote living in the backyard.
Mm-hmm. We are wild out here, ladies and gentlemen. We are wild.
Scorpions and... I didn't see any scorpions this summer.
Tarantulas.
We get the big tarantulas. The tarantulas.
What did you call that one actress at dinner again?
Oh no, it was Merkel DeMarco.
Oh yeah, yeah. You were trying to say Meghan Merkel, and you said
I don't know what I said.
You said like Mugen Schmerkler or something. Mugen Schmerkler.
Well, no, they did this thing on the TV about, so there's this couple, right? And they're hanging out at the beach and they just got married. Uh-huh. So they were going to take a selfie. And then this lady walks by and she says, I'll take the picture for you. And they're looking, and they're like, okay. And they're looking at her and they're like, she looks like Meghan Markle or whatever. What's her name? Merkel Markle? What's her name?
Keep trying. One more. Try one more.
What is it? Merkel Marco. I don't know. Who is it? Tell me.
Meghan Merkel.
Meghan Markle.
No, Meghan Markle. No, I'm messing it up. Meghan Markle.
Anyway. So, all right. So then... Okay, so it's the lady, right? So they're like, it looks like her. And then they look over. They're like, can't be her. But then they look over, and there's Prince Harry. Is it William or Harry? Prince Harry. It's Harry.
Is it?
Isn't she married to Harry?
I don't know.
Yeah, so it's him. And so it was a royal couple. And so they took their picture.
That's so cool, man.
Isn't that cool?
That's cool. Yeah, I heard they're really down to earth. No, that's awesome, man. Yeah, mm-hmm. No, she's gorgeous. They seem really great together. So.
Yeah, she is pretty.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome, now, dude.
She's just a regular person.
Yeah, she's a U.S. Wasn't she Catholic or something?
I don't know.
I had heard that she was Catholic, but I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know if that's true.
I don't know.
I'm the guy who thinks he knows everything.
Yeah,
but
you don't know.
I don't really know.
You don't even know where Tony is. Nobody knows where Tony is.
I don't.
Nobody knows.
I don't know anything, man.
Maybe he went down to Bermuda and disappeared in the triangle.
Maybe he did.
Yeah. He went down there to teach surfing, and then he just disappeared.
Teaching surfing in the Bermuda Triangle.
He just
the funny thing is, it was like, I can actually see that within the range of things Tony could do. You know, hey, Tony, where'd you go? Oh, man, I was out there teaching surfing in the Bermuda Triangle to a couple of shapeshifters. You know?
Yeah. Hey, could we babble any more, you thinking of?
We probably could, but I think, you know what I think we should babble about, Father Scott?
Cigars?
I think we should babble about some cigars.
All right. You like to smoke cigars. You wish your girlfriend would. Dan McCormick. Dan and Vicky, you know, are parishioners.
Mm-hmm.
So they bought this big, they're retired. They're retired army people. So they bought a big, like, motorhome. Or a fifth wheeler or whatever.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And they just took off.
The Breaking Bad RV?
No, it's bigger. It's like really, this thing is kind of like...
Oh, you've seen it?
Oh, yeah, I blessed
it. Oh, that's cool.
So, anyway, they just hopped in and then they just go and we're... You know, wherever the... Just go, take a road and see where it goes kind of thing, you know?
Oh, yeah, and for anybody who knows this couple, that's totally their MO. They're awesome. So,
So Dan stopped by. He stopped by Nica Habana Cigars. Okay, it's in Tampa, Florida.
Nica Habana Cigars, family business, 50 years in the making of all types.
Okay, are you saying that I didn't get it right?
No, I'm just looking at this thing, because they said it was. I think on this card it says they're from Nicaragua. Is the, so check this out. The owner, Rodoberto Galboan. What a name, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Or no, sorry. Galban has been making cigars for 50 years.
Uh-huh.
He started in Cuba and continued here in Florida, as was his dream to open his own shop.
Mm-hmm.
After hard work and many cigars later, he realized his dream. At Nica Habana, we pride ourselves in rolling one of the best cigars in historic Ybor?
Ybor.
Ybor?
Mm-hmm.
In historic Ybor City, Florida, the home of cigars.
Yeah.
Our unique blend of filler and matched wrapper makes for an enjoyable smoke. The filler is a combination of Dominican, Nicaraguan, Honduran, and Colombian tobacco. Ooh, I don't think we've smoked a Colombian or reviewed a Colombian. I don't know. Maybe we have.
I don't know, but Colombian, so far I'm liking it.
Tobacco. The percentages of each tobacco, a family secret, is what makes the cigars mild, medium, and full body. Mild, medium, or full body, excuse me. The wrappers are Connecticut Shade for a light smoke, Mexican Sumatra for a bold smoke, and Nicaragua Candela for a spicy smoke. We ask that you try all of our cigars and tell us what you think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, that's pretty cool. Hand rolled.
Well, you've been smoking it now for 15 minutes. What do you think?
I said this to you right as I lit this thing up. It was spicy. Got like a good spice to it, which has mellowed out that I've been smoking it, which is good.
I think it's tasty myself.
It is tasty.
And it's, by the way, just so we know what we're talking about, it's a 50 ring gauge, 6-inch cigar. I measured it.
Okay, nice. Well done.
And the draw so far has been, you know, I'm so used to the draws on those Padrones, but the draw's not bad. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it seems a little tight, the draw, but I think that's kind of the style, though. You know what I mean? The draw feels a little tight, but it's burning great, dude. It's got a great burn on this thing. Great stable ash on it. Yeah, it's like the spiciness has mellowed out quite a bit. Started out really super spicy in the end. As it's moving to the middle, it's lightened up quite a bit.
Yeah, and it's like kind of a natural, I think, wrapper. And the burn's pretty good. This one might have dried out a little bit because it's starting to unravel somewhat around the up here at the mouthpiece. You know what I'm saying? See how it's kind of unraveling? Maybe because it got a little dry.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I allowed it to get a little dry.
Yeah, but to me, it's still got like a pretty good spice on it, kind of like a white pepper. To try and sound technical, like a white peppery spice to it. It's still got like a woodiness to it, which I think like, you know, you were joking, you were teasing me a couple of podcasts because I describe everything as cedary, but I think cigars have they taste like a dark woodiness to them anyway. You know what I mean? So this has like a nice woodiness to it, toasty, but definitely still spicy, although that has mellowed out. Mm-hmm. But I like it overall. I think it's a flavorful cigar. Great burn, tasty stick.
I like
what do
it.
You think?
I like it.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Does it taste like a cigar?
Well, I've got, let's see, so one to you, one to me. That means I have three more of these. Oh, and I want to shout out to Steve Montiel, who just gave me tonight a package of an assortment of different things. Some cigars I've never seen. Some of them I've seen and I've smoked.
Cool.
At least three of those cigars in that bag that he gave me, which is in the other room. I'm not going to get up and go get it.
Yeah.
But are cigars that I've never even seen before.
Okay, you got to review them on the podcast.
Well, that's my plan.
Don't blow through them all tonight before you wake up tomorrow.
Oh no, I wouldn't do that. Okay, so one of these days we'll have a game quiz show thing with the person. And I'll do another song.
It'd be good, man.
Yeah.
Good there, bro. Mm-hmm. Yeah, game show would be good, man.
What time is it? Oh, it's time to do the gospel.
Gospel time.
This is just like, I feel like we've just been babbling for about nothing.
I know, I'm sorry, guys. Sheesh.
I'm not apologizing.
I'm apologizing. I want to take this opportunity.
Apologizing. You know what that's a sign of weakness. Dude, that's what John Wayne said. It's a sign of weakness.
Dude, you know what? I'm just looking at our podcast list. Mm-hmm. This is episode 100.
What? I knew this.
100, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, we got a new review. Did you see it?
Oh, yes.
Can you read it?
Oh, this is so good. Should I read it now or should I read it later?
This is our 100th podcast.
Dude, should I read this?
Hey, did you hear what I said?
What?
This is our 100th podcast.
You should have a special intro for that special song. Ladies and gentlemen. Let me try my best announcer voice.
No, you don't even attempt
ladies,
it.
I know.
No. Please don't.
We've lost all our listeners. Thanks for sticking around for 100 episodes. Oh, jeez.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, gospel time. I've got it pulled up.
Wait. No.
What?
You're going to read the...
The review. Okay. The review is from December the 18th from Catholic Mom 74. This she says, 5 stars for busy moms is the title. Awesome podcast. Such a great way for busy moms to enrich and continue learning our faith. It's entertaining too. Love to see the side of Father Scott and the gang. Thank you. Such a good one, man. Mm-hmm. That's a great one. Thank you.
I'm always wondering who these people are that like do, and keep them coming.
Yeah. Shout out to all our Catholic moms out there. Thanks for listening. We're glad our mindless banter and small talk hasn't driven you away just yet. So we're happy you're here.
It's okay. Look, man, I'm telling you.
Dude, look at you. You're even falling asleep during the podcast. Well, what am I supposed to do
now?
Well,
because you're talking.
Can't help it. It's a curse.
No, but man, I got up, you know, Sunday morning. So, you know, you get up so early. I get up. Not you. You're probably in bed till 11.
No, stop
it. I get up at 5, man.
You know? Well, you have masses all day long.
Yeah, and stuff. So, and then I was like, well, this afternoon I'll take a nap. But then I had to come home and watch a football game. So I didn't sleep. All right, so gospel right, time?
Yep, got the gospel pulled up right here. Mm-hmm. So today's gospel for the feast day, the solemnity of the Epiphany. Such a great day.
You know what Epiphany means?
And I feel like we're going to talk about it in our gospel reflection.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I can tell you right now, though.
Tell us now.
Epi, it's like Epiphany, two words, epi or infany. So epi means onto or upon or on.
Uh-huh.
Phany refers to the appearance of light. Okay, so Epiphany, the appearance of light. Okay, or light has shined upon the earth. And this light, it's not a thing, it's person, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. So Epiphany, you said, is epi one more time. What does that mean?
Well, it means on or upon.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The epi. Light is shown upon.
Yeah, right. Awesome. So, right. So Jesus is, who is the light of the world, has now made his appearance on earth.
Mm. Awesome.
See what I'm saying? Okay.
Awesome. Okay. So today's gospel for the feast day of the Epiphany mm-hmm. comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word that I too may go and do him homage.' After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them, until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country another way." Amen.
Amen to that. So, only appears in Matthew's gospel.
Really?
Yeah. Which surprises me. You think that would appear for sure in Luke, you know, but only in Matthew's gospel. So why Matthew included it and the others didn't, I don't know. I have no idea. Okay. And now the other thing we know is that was there really three, you know, magi? Well, we simply do not know. We give that number three because of the three gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Right.
Right. But we do know that they were wise men in that they were scholars. They were learned men.
That's a funny point, though, right? Because you're right. It doesn't say three kings or three magi. It just says magi from the east arrived.
Magi from the east, right.
That's interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So, we just, you know, of course, tradition has it that there is, you know, it gives the names, the three names, but we really just don't know. We just know that there were travelers from the east. But ultimately, it doesn't matter because the point is that the Lord was now revealing himself in the person of Jesus, who is the light of the world. Okay, and what does a light do? It shines, it makes visible that which is hidden.
Right.
And, you know, so much of, you know, what the Lord has revealed or revealed, you know, was veiled, right? So now God was making himself visible in human form in the person of Jesus, and not just to the Jewish people, but to the entire world.
Yes.
So the Celts and the Syrians and the Africans and the Anglos and Asians and Native Americans and everybody else. You know what I mean?
Well, isn't that what Isaiah is saying too? This is exactly, and I'm really happy you mentioned that. This is exactly what Isaiah is saying in the first reading from 1 Isaiah 60, 1 through 6. And I'll just read an excerpt. "Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. See, darkness covers the earth and thick clouds cover the peoples. But upon you, the Lord shines and over you appears his glory."
Right. And there's this theme of light is all over the place.
Yes.
So Jesus is the light of the world. We know from John's gospel, the first part, when it speaks about John, who came to testify to the light. He was not the light, but he came to testify to the light, to the person of Jesus.
Yes.
Right? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
When Jesus was presented in the temple, there was Simeon, the old man prophet, who said, mm-hmm. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. Mm-hmm. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, mm-hmm. a light to reveal you to the nations.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
The epiphany, so, to epiphany you to the nations, essentially.
That's
right?
Exactly right. So.
And what we see in the Magi, I think, is a great kind of reflection of what St. Paul talks about. So this light that you're talking about, exactly what Isaiah says too, this light calls all people into itself to illuminate the world in darkness, not just Israel, not just the chosen people in darkness, mm-hmm. to call all into the light. And what are Magi? Magi are not Jews. They are not practicing the chosen people, right? Mm-hmm. Magi, that word, M-A-G-I, is the root of magician, right? And I mean, it's not like, you know, people doing card tricks and levitating or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, we often say like astronomers, astrologers, even scientists would fit into this kind of narrative of who the Magi were, right? They were pagan, effectively. Right.
Yeah, they were pagan.
And Jesus shines into that.
But they were pagan, but they knew what the Jews believed about the coming Messiah.
Yes.
That they knew because the Jews made known to the known world at the time,
mm-hmm.
their belief in the coming of the Messiah. So the people, pagans, knew what the Jews believed.
Yeah.
What they were anticipating.
Yeah, because Jesus stepped into the world. He didn't just step into the Jewish world, right? He didn't just step into the little tiny place of Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. Sure, he did in a physical way, but like you said, man, like he called all of creation, everyone into himself, so that these Magi recognize in the signs and the wonders of the things that they studied, the change. They recognize in those wonders the Messiah. I think that is so profound, mm-hmm. man, that even these pagan scientists, that he called them to himself still. I think, and that, isn't that interesting too? I think also, and I don't know, this needs to probably be developed more, but that these pagan scientists, these philosophers, astronomers, whatever you want to call them, that they fulfilled a prophecy in the Old Testament. These pagans do, because we hear, right? I think in that same scripture from Isaiah that we read in Mass, where it says that they'll be bringing him golden frankincense, right? And they talk about the travelers from Saba and Meribah and Massa who will bring him these gifts on his birth.
But the fact that, you know, the Lord was going to share now his grace, his promise, his covenant with not just the Jewish people, but the rest of the world was foretold not just through these travelers or the prophecy concerning them. Many places in the Old Covenant scriptures, prophetic books, was this already foretold.
Yes.
And these are just the first of the pagan world or the Gentile world who would learn or have this truth preached to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how was it preached to them? God himself, think about it. God himself preached this to them, okay, by whatever discipline they studied, and obviously it was the study of the stars, and so the Lord used what they studied mm-hmm. to teach them, to show them this person of Jesus Christ who is the light of the world.
Mm.
And as far as this celestial light that they saw, was it, you know, a very bright star? Was it something else? UFO people say that it was a UFO that they saw, okay, and that Jesus was an alien, and, you know, and so on, and it's just goofiness.
Well,
no, it's was it an overlapping of stars? You know, mm-hmm. was it two stars that happened to, like, be, you know, like, behind, you know, one behind the other that just made it look? I don't know. But whatever it is, mm-hmm. it was enough to lead these guys to a place come from far mm-hmm. distant lands in search of, you know, this person whom the Lord himself had spoken to them. However, he did that. And something propelled them, something, it was like an obsession or something. I don't know that caused them some interior tug or push or whatever it is that made them leave the comfort of their own homelands and go traveling through the desert until mm-hmm. they found this child.
That trip was, it wasn't like, you know, I think the temptation too that we see is like, you know, January 6th is so close after Christmas. So we think, oh, it must have taken him 11 days to get to him. And it's like, no. In reality, this would have been a long journey. This is not 11 days or whatever it ends up being in the liturgical calendar. It's more of a metaphorical feast, I think, right, that we have, that we celebrate.
Well, the child could have been 2 years old.
It could have been years that these guys were traveling to the birth site of Jesus Christ. And I find it so interesting and so compelling that the first people, other than Jesus's parents, as far as we know, other than Jesus's parents and the shepherds, that these guys are kind of the first people to become his disciples. These pagan travelers from a faraway land who study the stars, that they kind of became his first disciples. It's so profound.
And you just wonder what message they took back when they went home and they went back to their own homelands. Mm-hmm. What did they tell the people?
Yeah.
The people they obviously were like, where were you?
Yeah.
Well, we saw great light and it told us we would find a newborn king, and we found him.
This gospel is just so packed with kind of between the lines sort of stuff. Something that stood out to me in Mass today that I thought was interesting was, so like I said, right? So these guys, these magi, are some of the first to really recognize Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as the one who was coming into the world. And, what Matthew writes is he says that, when King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. So not just Herod, and we think about it in terms of like, oh, Herod was freaked out because someone was challenging his kingship. Sure, yes, great, that's true.
But why?
But
I don't get
all
understand.
Jerusalem.
Well, why would they? Why would all of Jerusalem?
Because
you
it's
mean
someone.
Every? Huh? I don't get. Because why?
No. So I don't know what I think that what I think what the gospel writer is saying here is because. You know, I think Jerusalem is seeing these guys coming in saying, the Messiah is here, the Messiah is present. And Jerusalem's not recognizing what's in front of their face. And this is the ongoing narrative of the gospel, right? That Jesus is performing these miracles and Jerusalem continually rejects him. They continually reject him. I mean, even like...
I don't think that the Blessed Mother didn't, or Joseph didn't send out flyers.
No, but...
My child is about to be born. I mean, there was no fanfare.
You're absolutely right. What I think is that when these travelers arrived, these magi arrived, they're probably traveling, not just like, let's say it was three of them, right? Not just the three of them, but they have like their whole caravan.
Yeah.
They arrive at the gates of Jerusalem from a far off land, looking different, speaking different, having all these gifts, and approaching the palace of Herod, because the logical place for them to look for a king is in Jerusalem, right?
Now, my understanding, too, is that there's a possibility that these three travelers, not to interrupt you, but...
No, go ahead.
The question is, did they come from the same place in the East, or did they come from different places in the East?
That's interesting.
And how cool that would be that they met up in the desert. Where are you headed? Well, I had this revelation, this vision, and the next guy going, I had the same vision.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
How cool would that be if that were the case?
But man, you know, I can understand, I think in a certain way, like why Jerusalem would be in a panic, you know? Like these guys are coming from a far off land saying that the king has been born. The Messiah who we should be expecting is already in the world, and we're not seeing it in front of our faces.
I get what you're saying.
And really they're probably seeing it as a threat.
Not, you know what I mean? Okay. So you're saying not only Herod, but others around him who will be like, who are these guys and what are they doing? What's going on?
Yeah.
They're saying they're looking for the newborn king of the Jews. Well, we're that people. We don't know anything about this.
Exactly.
What are you talking about?
That's exactly right.
But I don't think it's all of Jerusalem. I mean,
yeah, you know, I mean,
a handful of people, but.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know. But no, it's, yeah, just interesting. Kind of the fanfare, the fervor. And then, man, what is Herod's response to? Herod's response is, It's an interesting peek into like the psychology of this guy, right? The power hungry Herod, who's
afraid of an infant.
Totally. Who, as we know, as a result of this, killed God knows how many children.
The slaughter of the innocents.
Yep, exactly. The slaughter of the holy innocents.
Why would he be? That's a good point. Anyway, he's a child. Okay. We found a child. We're looking for a child, the newborn king of the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
He's a child. Why would Herod, what would he have to worry about?
But then what does Herod actually do, though? Which is, it's such a weird response.
Well, he wants to go pay him homage. Well, he doesn't want to. he asked about, he's like, hey, where is this child at? So I can go pay him homage too.
But
he had no intention of paying him homage.
So what he does though, is when these guys tell him that the king has been born, mm-hmm. he gets the chief priests and the scribes of the people. So in Jerusalem, and says, hey, where does it say in the scriptures the Christ will be born? So he's asking them to look into the ancient prophecies and tell him where the Christ will be born. And then they come back to him and say, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it has been written through the prophet. And then they go through quoting the old scriptures. So Herod is using the Old Testament. It's weird. It's just a weird psychology, right? Like, does he believe the scriptures or doesn't he? Does he actually believe that the Messiah is to be born or doesn't he?
Well, that's a good point.
Because then he asks, in the scriptures, where does it say there in this book that I don't really believe in, but where does it say that the Christ will be born? Bethlehem. Okay.
Well, now he believes it. So he doesn't believe it, or he believes
exactly.
it.
Exactly. It's this weird like dualism, I think, that we're seeing inside of Herod, where he kills everyone. So it's like, he obviously doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. So he kills all the children.
But yet he was terrified of this child.
Yeah, exactly. And then consulting
who
the scribes
really
and the
knew?
Pharisees.
I mean, who knew him?
Just weird, isn't it? Like a weird psychology, man.
I mean, with serious, Herod would be like, who's his mother and father? Never heard of him. Who are they? Okay, so what's the big deal? Oh, please. He would have just blown it off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. If he didn't believe it.
Yeah, so that's a good point.
It's just weird. It's like a really weird way of doing it. It's like, did Herod truly believe that this was, that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, that the Christ had been born? Or didn't he? It seems like he didn't, but then he consulted the scriptures and the prophecies in the Torah.
Yeah.
You know? Just so odd. I don't know.
Right. What I keep going back to is the fact that he was like terrified of this little kid that was born.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Who was unknown to anyone. I mean, come on, right?
That's exactly right.
So that goes to show you he was quite twisted.
Yeah, like you know, and maybe it's an interesting insight into like this dualism that exists. I mean, maybe inside of all of us in a certain mm-hmm. way too, where, and you know, I'm speaking to myself here too, right? Where I acknowledge Jesus as Lord, I acknowledge Christ, but it's like, I still sin. So, you know, it's almost like in a certain way that dualism of Herod's lives inside of me.
Well, that sure does, yeah.
You know?
Right. Okay, so anyway, there's the presentation of the gifts.
Mm-hmm.
So you got gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Okay, now these are gifts fit for a person who is priest, prophet, and king.
Yes. Why?
And Jesus was anointed priest, prophet, and king.
Mm-hmm.
He came to us as priest, prophet, and king.
Yep.
Okay, and he's the prophet of prophets. He's God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, king, because he's king of heaven and earth. Priest is because, well, he offered himself to the Father as the sacrifice. So he is both the lamb and he's the lamb of sacrifice and the priest because he offered himself. A priest is one who offers a sacrifice to God.
Right.
Okay. So,
you've got gold, a gift befitting and worthy of a king,
mm-hmm.
a king, and bedecked in gold. We hear that all the time, right? Frankincense. Because what did priests offer, even today, even at Mass tonight, Father Scott, what did you offer at the Mass besides the Eucharist? What was the offering that you presented?
Well, I was swinging incense.
It's an offering of frankincense. And that's very traditional in the temple. Mm-hmm. Temple.
Well, but, and by the way, you know, when we swing incense at the Mass, it's really kind of symbolic thing of this, you know,
prayers
the smoke
rising.
It's our prayers rising to heaven.
Mm-hmm. And then the third thing, which is really interesting that it's mentioned, is myrrh.
And I don't even know, what is myrrh? It's like an oily kind of
stuff. Yeah,
like
myrrh
oil.
Is a spice. It's like a spice, kind of a fragrant oil that they use to anoint the body in the tomb. So and this is an interesting foreshadowing. It's such a beautiful foreshadowing. Again, that's really only present and capable in the mind of God. But the myrrh is likely what they anointed. So they anointed Jesus with frankincense and myrrh when he was in the tomb. Before he rose on Easter Sunday. So it's this foreshadowing of his death and his time in the tomb that they present to him. These incredible gifts So gold befitting of a king, frankincense symbolic of the priestly offering and the priestly sacrifice, and myrrh because that's symbolic of Jesus's ultimate sacrifice.
Isn't that cool?
On the cross. Just wild. So I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's okay. Not a big deal.
But yeah.
You know, this windscreen on this microphone, I just really just, it just doesn't work. It's all goofy. It's all messed up. And
you're all tangled up there, man.
All tangled up and stuff. And I'm going to try to redo myself here. And okay, so, but I do want to talk about the gifts, okay?
Yeah, talk about the gifts.
Well, that's and right. It's not so much about those gifts. It's about the gift that we want to give, or mm-hmm. The gift that God wants us to give to Him. Okay?
Okay.
Because, you know, the Lord does want us to give Him a gift.
Right.
And what is that gift? First of all, let me ask you this question. Okay. Is there anything that we can give to the Lord that He hasn't already given to us first?
Ooh. No.
Okay, no.
No, there is not.
Okay, and so what gift does the Lord want you to give to Him?
The Lord wants for me a clean heart.
Yeah, and you're the one who said it on a mm-hmm. podcast about, what, 3 weeks ago or something like that?
That's the best gift that you can give our Lord is a clean heart.
Okay.
In the season of gift giving and the craziness of the season, you know, truly the best gift that you can present to the infant Christ mm-hmm. is a clean heart.
Okay, so not just your heart, though. What about your mind?
Oh, I think it encompasses everything. I think a clean heart means a clean mind. And
okay. So what about if we said he wants you, just you, he just wants you.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay. But he wants a pure you. He wants a good you. He wants a holy you.
Right.
Maybe not perfect, because he's the one who perfects us if we let him perfect us. So he wants you. He wants, again, a pious you, reverent you, yep. humble you, repentant you. Mm-hmm. Okay? All right, so here's a question I have. So, and I just, you know, I throw this out. So if a man, what man would give his wife on her birthday if she asked for a coat? So he's going to give her a soiled, moth-eaten, unclean, used coat for her birthday. Mm-hmm. Okay, now he'll be sleeping on the couch for like a week.
Right.
Okay, until he goes out and gets
right,
her.
Right.
Okay, so why would we offer, if the Lord wants us, or if he wants you, or he wants me to give to him the self, right? And he deserves better than just, you know, he doesn't, if he wants, okay, he get, and by the way, his, you know, what you have to give him, he wants you to give to him you. But he gave you to you first, you know, because he created you.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So he gave you you, and now he wants you to give you to him.
Right.
Okay.
It's a tongue twister, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So, but he doesn't, but he, you know, if all, the best you have to offer him is unrepentant, hate-filled, angry, racist, greedy, unkind, right. crass, rude, crude Jew. That's like the husband giving the wife a worn out coat for her birthday.
Right.
Okay, right.
Right? Right.
So he wants you to give him a you that is humble and little, sinful, yeah, but repentant, mm-hmm. okay, and striving for holiness and goodness and generosity and meekness and all of those things we find,
right.
of course, in the Beatitudes.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely. Well, and then it becomes a question, too, of stewardship. Because like you said, Father, we only have what God has given us, right? From the breath in our lungs mm-hmm. to our body, to our jobs, everything that we have and that we see, the means in which you're listening to our podcast right now, whether it's in your car, on your headphones, whatever it is in existence, is here as a gift from God.
Everything.
So to give God any of that back to him is a matter of stewardship. It's being good stewards of the creation and the gifts we've been entrusted with, right?
That's exactly right.
So I mean, even things like the frankincense, the gold, the myrrh, all this stuff, right? Is that, wow, that really just popped out of there, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, I'm adjusting.
But even like the gold, the frankincense, the myrrh.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, these are these wonderful symbols of priest, prophet, and king. But at the end of the day, God created them all. They're not these things that are going to shock him or going to amaze him. But it's about being a good steward to the one who created us, right? So I think you hit the nail on the head, man.
That's right. And you know what? You know, I had this idea about, you know, with it's the same thing. Like, okay, so the Eucharist, which, you know, might be going off on a tangent a little bit. But that's
so unlike us.
Well, I know. But think about it. So God creates, God gives us the grape, he gives us the grain.
Right.
We make bread and wine. Okay? Then we give to him, offering means to give. We give then to him the bread and wine. He gives us back the person of Christ. Then we give to him the person of Christ, who he already gave to us in the incarnation, the same Jesus who is the incarnation. He gave himself to us on the cross. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then we give this person of Jesus to the Father. Then he gives us back the grace that we need to enter into his heaven. So he gives, yeah. We give back, he gives back, we give back, and then he gives back.
Yep. Isn't that, that's what communion is though, mm-hmm. right? That's mm-hmm. exactly what communion is at its definition, right? It's communing. It's not a one-way relationship. It's not just God lumping all this stuff on us. We say, hey, thanks God, give him a thumbs up and then walk off into the sunset, mm-hmm. you know? And it's also not us just sending over everything to him, you know, without receiving grace from him. So it's this beautiful dialogue of communion between the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and creation. Absolutely, man. Well, and that's the prayer you pray as well, right? Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for through your goodness we have this wine to offer. Mm-hmm. You know, and you go through all this kind of stuff that mm-hmm. it's only through the goodness of the Lord that we're able to offer him the gifts, the talents that we have, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh in our lives, right?
And I think that's what ultimately is the participation of the Mass, that not only are we together, and this is where we all participate. It's not just the priest who's offering Jesus. We are all offering Jesus, but at the same time, we offer ourselves.
Right.
Okay. With, you know, and our, everything we're striving for and, you know, but our goodness and yeah, our sins too, you know, but humbly, you know, not arrogance, not indifference, not haughtiness, greed, anger, all of that. You know, that's to give, you know, the Lord the shoddy coat, you know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then along with that, if we're going to go back to this, you know, this sort of thing with the light, right? This idea with the light. So think about it. The Lord becomes light for us, but then he turns us into light. And this is where, you know, baptism is the next feast we're going to celebrate. By way of baptism, we become the light. In this dark world. So we're now light. So, you know, our Lord once said, speaking of light, he said, you know, who lights a lamp and then sticks it under a bed?
Right.
You know?
Right.
So look, if I'm a baptized person, I'm supposed to be light to people, but yet I'm living in darkness, then how am I going to be light to anybody?
100%. 100%. Yeah.
Right. So in other words, if I'm hateful, mean, racist, crass, crude, rude, indifferent, you know, irreverent, haughty, arrogant, then I'm not going to lead anyone out of the darkness into the light.
Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day too, right? I mean, these things, gold, frankincense, and myrrh are great. They're good. They fulfill all these prophecies. But what Jesus really, truly wants, what he truly wants this Christmas season, which as you mentioned, your homily, Father, is still going on for a little while. What Jesus really wants this season is you. That's all he wants. He wants you. Make yourself a gift to our Lord this Christmas season. Go to confession. There's so many great opportunities to cleanse your soul. And it's easy too. It's not like, you know, I was thinking about your metaphor about like the coat with holes in it and whatever, you know, it's not even as hard as getting those holes patched up and washed off. It's like just dusting those things off and all that just sheds away years of regret, of pain, of sin, shed away. And you can give the infant Christ this Christmas season the gift that he's always wanted.
Well,
you.
And exactly right. And, you know, we've got that. We've got the image from the scripture of, you know, what did Jesus say? It's put on, or it was Paul or whoever said it. I think it's Paul, but strip off the old person and put on the new.
That's exactly. Yep. That's Paul.
Okay. So you might you might be the old coat then, you know. But go to confession and repent and be humble before the Lord. And guess what? He will make you a brand new creation.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, man. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. It's so easy, truly. Confession used to be such a scary thing for me, you know? But it's like one of those things, you know what I mean? Like, It's like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a good metaphor. Where's Tony when you need a good metaphor? But it's like, I don't know, like diving or something, right? Diving off a diving board. It's really freaky the first couple of times, but then after you do it five times, it's like, whatever, like it's second nature. And that's what confession is just this wonderful, tremendous sacrament with great grace present inside of it. And prepare yourself, you know, to present yourself willing, fitting, worthy, and clean to our infant Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Praise be to Christ the King, born in a manger in Bethlehem. Right.
And so next week is the baptism. So we go from when Jesus was an infant. Well, actually, you know, the Epiphany, we don't know how old he was.
Right.
But then we're going to skip up to where he's 30 years old,
mm-hmm.
and he gets baptized.
Yep.
And he begins thus his public ministry.
I know. It's crazy, too, because from this time of the Epiphany until the baptism, it's kind of like this... He kind of fades into obscurity, so to speak, you know? Mm. Him and Mary and Joseph just kind of live a pretty normal life, it seems like, in Nazareth, you know?
But isn't that just like God?
Mm. That's a great point, yeah.
God doesn't need fanfare.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
Quietly waiting in quiet for his time.
A lot to be said about silence and, you know, right?
Yeah, absolutely,
just
man.
Like the Lord, you know, he started a church with 12 guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then said, go preach the gospel.
Amazing.
Want something?
Amen.
Okay. Amen. Hey, keep those comments coming and those reviews on if you're an iTunes person. Okay. We appreciate that. SJVNM.org is the place to go if you want to donate to our church. We hope you do. We hope you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Yep. And let's see. If you want to reach out to us on Instagram, our handle is at Holy Smokes Catholic on Instagram. And then if you want to drop us a line through email, holysmokes@sjvnm.org. Send us your comments, questions, concerns, anything at all through there. Be nice, because right now we're just receiving a ton of spam on that account. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed the crazy amount of spam we get on Holy Smokes?
Where's that stuff
email?
Come from?
I have no idea. Like, I don't get that on my other emails, but man, we get all these, like, people from the Middle East and stuff, like, asking for money through that.
Oh.
It's just crazy. So, yeah, say hi. We'll say hi to you. holysmokes@sjvnm.org. That's all I got, man.
So maybe Tony will be back. Once he gets, comes back from the Bermuda Triangle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
After he gets, you know, done surfing, surf school.
Gonna go fly down a rescue mission to go save him from the Bermuda Triangle.
So. You know, it's funny. You ever see the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind?
Oh, I think I did.
Where the spaceship, and then they unload all the people, all these people who were lost at the Bermuda Triangle during the Second World War. And so they get off the spaceship.
Uh-huh.
So they're gonna make Close Encounters 2. And then they're going to have the spaceship. Tony's going to come on the spaceship with a surfboard.
Staggering out in flip-flops and board shorts, ciao ragazzi.
Poor Tony. We're having fun at his expense.
Yeah. He'll be back sometime.
I need to get new mic stands. You know?
My mic stand's doing great, dude. I don't know what's going on yours.
Well, it's all wacky. I don't know what's going on here. All right, man. Say goodbye.
All right. Goodbye, everybody. Say goodbye, Father Scott.
Bye, Father Scott.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.